conflict is definitely an issue. You cannot have food security. You cannot have nutrition security without peace. When there is conflict, there's no opportunity for people to benefit from the opportunities to increase their yields if they're taking refuge for their lives. And so that is the number one factor that we must have across the continent to ensure that we can end hunger on the continent. And South Sudan is a perfect example of this, where we were working for the last 2 years with South Sudan on the kind of development program that we've been talking about today. Now we've had to we've been required to suspend all of those resilience building activities, development activities, and we're only focused on emergency feeding, because people are taking shelter for their lives. That's the challenge of the lack of peace. But that's not the only challenge. Where there's peace but we don't have the investment capital that's necessary to support the bringing together of all of the tools that will ensure that we can create the development activities that I've been describing, then we fail. And so we need donor investment, both from the public sector as well as the private sector, to help us support the full, bringing the full packages to the communities where we can have the greatest impact.
How much help in terms of food is the WFP giving to Africa right now?
60% of our programs right now are in sub-Saharan Africa. And so we're providing significant support across the continent. We're seeing, as I noted, increased programming requirements, and we're providing, working to meet those requirements in South Sudan because of the conflict there now, Central African Republic. We have over 400,000 people who have been displaced in Central African Republic and over 500,000 people in South Sudan. We are seeing increased needs in the Sahel, where we are working to meet the challenges of those who are suffering from the impacts of climate change and the variances in rainfall that is limiting the harvest for smallholders in those areas and making it ever more difficult for those in the Sahel to feed themselves. In the Horn of Africa, we're seeing increased challenges because of the light rains in the short rain season in the target countries in the Horn, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia. And in Somalia, because of increased violence there, we are having challenges reaching many of the people who are in need of our assistance. So we are working across the continent to meet emergency needs. But what I'm excited about is that we're also working across the continent to support agricultural development. And we're making a significant difference in reducing the number of people who require emergency assistance because they are now in a position where they're growing the food that is necessary and they're selling to WFP for distribution in our other programs. So that's what that's the opportunity that we have here on the continent. Some of the most fertile land on the entire planet is here in sub-Saharan Africa. This is a place where every farmer, every family should be able to feed themselves, and WFP is working to make that a reality.
When you talk of agricultural development, what are you specifically talking about? Are you, as the WFP, giving out inputs to farmers across the region to make sure that they may be able to produce for themselves, or you are teaching them how to farm?
We are working with partners, whether it's FAO, EFAD, or governments themselves or other NGOs, to support the every level of the agricultural value chain, from working with smallholders to help them organize into cooperatives, to working with FAO, who's providing the inputs, whether it's seeds or fertilizers or capacity development to assist farmers in increasing the quality and quantity of their yields. It's working, and we provide food to those farmers or vouchers to those farmers during the period of time when they're planting, working with them to with programs that we call Food for Assets, where the farmers are building irrigation systems or they're building roads that would get them from their fields to the market, working with those same farmers with Food for Assets to build the post-harvest storage facilities, helping through our Food for Assets and Food for Work programs and Food for Training programs, and helping farmers develop the post-harvest handling capacity that they need to reduce the amount of post-harvest losses. And then finally, we're working with farmers to support them by providing the market, the catalyst market, in purchasing from them until we can identify commercial buyers or government buyers who will support the sustainability and durability of the improvements that we make in the agricultural value chain. So all of that work combined, it's not one organization. WFP could never do that alone. It's us working together with partners, working together with the farmers, working together with community leaders, but bringing all those tools to the community to support sustainable and durable agricultural value chain improvements that will ensure that it's not just a program, it's a lifetime change for those farmers that we're working with.
You've been in Zimbabwe for 3 days to assess the food situation in the country, especially this peak hunger season. What did you find out from your three-day visit in Zimbabwe?
Well, what I learned was to confirm the challenges that I'd read about before I arrived, and that is that while the government has assessed that 2.2 million people are in need of food during this lean season, and WFP committed to supporting 1.8 million of them, we've only been able to support 1.2 million because of our lack of funding. And in fact, of that 1.2 million, a significant number of them, we've been required to reduce the amount of the rations. What that says is that during a period of time when people have depleted their assets, that and they're depending upon WFP to provide the food support that is necessary, we're not there for them. And so this gave me an opportunity to talk to the government as well as to donors about the need for providing the financial assistance that will give us the ability to ensure that no child goes hungry in Zimbabwe.
What more can be done by the WFP to make sure that you continue to raise those important resources to make sure that you continue to feed people in need in these countries, especially in Zimbabwe at this particular point in time?
Well, what we need to do is ensure that we have these kinds of interviews and the media write about the challenges that this country team is facing in raising resources to meet the needs of those who require assistance. But we also must continue to invest in programs that provide the capacity for particularly smallholder farmers to feed themselves. People don't want assistance from WFP. They may need it, they accept it, because it's the only food they have. What they really want is the opportunity to feed their own children. And so we must invest in programs that help us develop the opportunity for families to feed themselves and to care for their own children.
You met with officials from the Zimbabwe government. What did they have to say to you? Did they appeal for more assistance?
My conversations with the government were very enlightening. The government has purchased 150,000 metric tons of food from Southern Africa for distribution to those who are in need of assistance, and they've now committed 15,000 metric tons of that food to WFP. So that's almost $10 million in food that they've now committed to transfer to WFP for our distribution program. So that was very good news from the government. And so we are hopeful that they will fulfill that commitment to us very shortly so that we can continue our distribution program. I was also very excited to hear from the government about their commitment to work with WFP as well as the other UN organizations and the NGO community to support the nutrition programs that will help us eliminate stunting. Almost one-third of the children here in Zimbabwe suffer from stunting. And we know that children who are physically and mentally stunted will have economic deficiencies, educational deficiencies for their entire lives. So it's important that we all work together to address this challenge. And I was very pleased to hear the government's commitment to work on these issues.
Sometime last year, the WFP came up with a figure of money that they said they wanted to be able to help Zimbabwe. How much do you currently need as a WFP to help Zimbabwe during this peak hunger season?
We are still $60 million short from the funds that we need to meet all of our program requirements between now and June. And so we are appealing to donors to help us reduce that deficit.
And what are the main challenges that you are facing as you try to raise that amount of money?
The main challenge is that many of the donors who are providing assistance to us here in Zimbabwe are also supporting programs in Central African Republic, South Sudan, Syria, and we're seeing growing financial requirements in each of those countries. And so what that results in is fewer dollars for programs like Zimbabwe. So we must bring attention to these programs to ensure that no child is prioritized over another, and that we also must increase the number of donors who are supporting the programs here in Zimbabwe. And so while we are very thankful to the U.S., to the U.K., to the EU, for the investments that they've made in our program here in Zimbabwe, we're calling on the entire donor community to increase their assistance to our programs here.
Thank you so much. But lastly, as a takeaway, what are you taking away from Zimbabwe as you go? Are you going back to your office or are you going to another country?
I'm going to another country. I go from here to Mexico, where we are working to sign an MOU with Mexico, where Mexico is committed now to working with us on South-South cooperation to help with the learnings that they've developed working with smallholder farmers to help other farmers around the world achieve food security. And it's an excellent opportunity for the people we serve to benefit from those who have made progress and are moving forward. So I'm looking forward to a new partnership that will help us achieve a zero hunger world. What I'm taking away as I leave here, this is a fantastic country. Someone said to me, Zimbabwe is the heart of Africa. They were telling the truth. People have been warm and generous, and they have made me feel so welcome here. As I said, my visit was far too short, and once I arrived here and as I plan to leave, I'm committed that I'm going to find a way to come back to Zimbabwe, even if it's as a tourist. I'll come back to Zimbabwe.